This is the audio description for the visual components of works in Constantina Zavitsanos' L&D Motel. The show consists of 2.1 works, a display case of transmission holograms, and a two-channel infrasonic ramp with accompanying projected captions. The gallery is a long dark channel with black walls and red light. In the front of the gallery, there's a display case on the right wall. Laser light glows from the display case. There's diffused red light atop the opposing wall. The space between the case and the wall across from it is completely empty, with an immediate long view of a ramp that curls up the gallery's back wall. Two corridors flank the back wall. The one on the left leads to the bathroom, the one on the right to the gallery's office. A soft red glow fills these as well. The first work in the show is a display case of holograms. The checklist for the piece reads, 1. Boxed bet. Transmission holograms, acrylic mounts, 5 milliwatt red laser, 2 inch by 3 inch by dimensions variable, 2019. A note reads, the display case itself, as well as its contents, are fragile. The case should not be leaned on or touched in any way. Red light glows from an 8-foot-long clear plexiglass display case mounted on the wall. Its closed clear lid and sides slope down from back to front. The bottom and back of the case are lined in a sleek reflective black acrylic. The case appears to float on the wall while its interior black ground seems to dislocate the contents of its display from the gallery's floor. Inside the case are three separate arrangements of holograms on dimensional clear acrylic mounts. Each arrangement is lit by a red laser in a scientific metal mount. Each laser constructs a light path that lights up multiple transmission holograms. From a distance, the case glows in luminescent red, and up close, holographic images appear and disappear from various angles. Some holograms are displayed in full, while others are overlapped. In some cases, from some angles, images will appear to exist between their mounts. In others, images are occluded by the mounts or images before them in the light path, appearing to be cut. A change of view may reveal more of a full image. Another change in view may lose the image altogether. The holographic images retain depth and preserve parallax, as if they are three-dimensional. Yet they remain distinctly images. 6 of the holographic image films are of dice. 1 is of a stack of quarters. They all glow in translucent red. The clear mounts reflect red geometric lines, and in some cases, cast shadow. On the right side of the case, the first arrangement shows two separate holograms mounted on two sets of two stack cubes. One image is rendered in full, while the second in the same light path is largely occluded and framed by the cast shadow of the first. The first hologram is of a single die on stable ground. The second hologram is several dice, more dynamically composed, as if they are one die mid-roll in time on a single plane, or several dice shaken in space. In the middle of the case, the second arrangement shows a longer light path of three images. A long clear cube holds two clear smaller mounts, one a clear cube with a holographic blurred image of a sloppy stack of quarters, one a clear tilted panel with a holographic image of dice. Leaning against the long cube support is another taller clear flat frame mount with another image of dice. This image is fogged at the top. All three images overlap in the light path and appear to produce imagery between the separate mounts. On the left side of the case, the third arrangement consists of one tall clear flat frame mount and one set of stacked clear cubes. The first holographic image is of several dice in dynamic composition, and the second is of several dice in stable composition. The second image is partially occluded by the first. In the back of the case are colored wires that link to each laser and run along the back edge of the case to its sides and between the center and right arrangements. Between the left and center arrangements, there are no wires. There instead, and closer to the plane of the holograms, is a crystal ball. The second piece in the show is an infrasonic ramp that is largely felt and engaged with beyond the visual. The checklist for the piece reads, 2. Call to post. Infrasonic ramp. Plywood sound transducers wire. 20 feet by 11.5 feet by 5 feet with curve. 2019. And 2A. All the time. HD video. 2-channel open captions for speech at or above 20 hertz. Dimensions variable. 2019. A note reads, the ramp is built to the ADA standard 5% grade, but does not have handrails as to allow for seating on its sides. Please use caution if traversing its surface. Call to post is largely an infrasonic sound piece that may be felt and touched. There are a few vibrations in the ramp that some may find intense if engaged directly through bodily touch. From the entrance to the back wall of the gallery, the floor space is uninterrupted. There are a few objects along the right wall. The checklist plinth, the audio description headphones, a display case, and a projector. The space between the display case and the wall across from it is completely empty, with an immediate long view of a ramp that curls up the gallery's back wall. Two corridors flank the back wall. The one on the left leads to the bathroom, the one on the right to the gallery's office. A soft red glow fills these corridors and pours over the long ramp between them. The ramp is made of the same material as the floor. Its seams align with the seams in the floor, and it appears to continue the floor and curl up the back wall. The sides of the ramp show its open structure and the cuts in the layers of ply that make up its curve. Gaffed cords run along its back right side and continue across the opening of the back right corridor under a treaded threshold. The surface of the ramp is stained in amber red, and the grain of the wood is largely revealed. The ramp is lit with red light on its surface toward the back. In the front, there's a quarter-inch lip of hardwood, also aligned with seams in the floor. On the left wall, there are two overlapping channels of open captions projected. The first channel is bright white text on a black wall. The second is gray text in the same space on the black wall. The first text is fully legible, though the second text slightly interferes with the first at times. At some times, the second text is partially legible. When the projector on the floor is blocked, the first text disappears from the wall, and the second is fully revealed in the cast shadow.